We are in James chapter 3. James chapter 3. This is God's Word. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is, first of all, pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. May God add His blessing to this reading from His holy and inspired Word. Folks, our words have power, and we must yield our lives to the Lord, because only God can tame the tongue. Javonte, that was the takeaway. Our words have power. We must yield our lives to the Lord because only God can tame the tongue. Now, why do you say only God can tame the tongue? Because look at verse 8. No man can tame the tongue. It's not something you can do if you just grit your teeth and try harder. We need God to change us. Jesus says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Why is it that our mouths get us in trouble? My brother in elementary school was impatient with the instruction of his teacher. He was in third grade, I think, maybe fourth. And He was sitting there, and the teacher was talking and talking and talking, and he was becoming impatient, and he turned and said to a friend, "I wish you'd get to the point." Now, that was not okay. That was disrespectful. He should not have done that, and he should not have been saying anything while the teacher was talking. But his friend said, "Tell her." And so my brother raised his hand. And the teacher said, "Yes, Johnny." And he said, "Get to the point." He said in the seconds that followed, his entire life flashed before his eyes as he considered what was going to happen to him when his dad found out what he had just done. That was a grossly disrespectful thing to do, and suffice it to say, he was removed from the classroom by the teacher and given another separate personal lecture out in the hall. And he has not forgotten it. Now, I mean to tell you, when I was growing up in our house, if we disagreed with something our parents said, we had to begin our response with the words, "I beg your pardon." And then we could express disagreement. But that opening phrase, "I beg your pardon," was a way of making it very clear to all parties concerned, I am not the equal of the person I am talking to. I am asking permission to please, without offense, respectfully express a different point of view. Is that clear? Why? Well, not because my parents were cruel, harsh, brutal people who kept us constantly under their thumb, but because my parents were the parents. They were the mom and the dad. And it was imperative that their children understand that my parents were to always be treated with respect. You never wanted to have my father angry. And let me tell you, if there's anything you could do to make my father angry, it would be to be disrespectful to my mom. Is that clear? So dad both invested in my mom authority and protected that authority so that her children knew we must honor her and we must treat her with respect. And dad modeled that in the way that he spoke to her, and she modeled that in the way she spoke to him. Now, where does that come from? It comes from within. Again, Jesus says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, sometimes with embarrassing results. My wife came home from the dentist when we were first married. The dentist was half an hour away from our house, and I was very hungry, but I didn't want to eat until she got home. And I just thought, you know, as a newlywed husband, that it would be inappropriate if she came back from the dentist and I'd already eaten with no regard for her. So I'm waiting, and I didn't know, this is before the day of cell phones. I couldn't call and say, "What time are you going to be back?" So I waited and waited, and instead of being there at noon, or 12:30, or 1 o'clock, or 1:30, time just kept ticking, and she could be 2 minutes away, or 5 minutes away, or still in Kosciuszko, Mississippi. I mean, what are we going to do? I had no way of knowing, so I just waited and waited and waited, and got hungrier and hungrier, and hungrier, and hungrier. And finally, she got there, and she'd had fairly extensive work done by a wonderful Christian dentist in Kosciuszko, and he had given her so much Novocaine that after a half an hour drive home, the side of her face was still droopy. And as she got out of the car and tried to speak to me, I said, "You need to go look at yourself in the refrigerator." Now, what was I saying? Well, I meant to say, you need to go look at yourself in the mirror, but I was so hungry and I'd been thinking about food so long that I said, you need to go look at yourself in the refrigerator. Okay? Who sounds goofy? Not just the lady with the Novocaine, but the guy with the growling stomach. Out of the abundance of the heart, or in that case, the emptiness of the belly, the mouth speaks. Okay? Now, the reason I make that point is because what is described here is the fact that our words have power, that what we say can cause great harm and often does cause great harm. But the solution is not just, here. The solution is the heart. God is the one who has to change our hearts so that what comes out of our mouth expresses His character, His love, His grace. Love is patient. Love is kind. That's what ought to be coming out of our mouth. But in order for that to be what comes out of our mouth, it has to be what fills our hearts. We need for our lives to be filled with God's grace and His love so that what comes forth from our mouths is gracious. Do you know what comes out of a coffee cup if you juggle it? If you bump up against a coffee cup? Coffee. That's what comes out. It's not going to spill tea or water or Coca-Cola. If it's a cup of coffee, it's going to spill coffee. Because what's on the inside is what comes out when you get bumped. Right? And when you and I get bumped, we get jostled, something happens to catch us off guard, we get a little off balance for a moment, what's on the inside is going to come out. So if you and I want to be spilling out good things, we need to be filled with the Spirit of God. And that's what's described here. First of all, the main part of the passage we read goes at great length talking about the power of the tongue, how a little thing can do great damage, but the fact that no man can tame the tongue. Look back in chapter 1, verse 26. If anyone considers himself religious yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Well, now, in chapter 1, it's saying we need to keep a tight rein on our tongue. And then in chapter 3, it's saying, but no man can tame the tongue. What's the answer? Well, you don't do it on your own. This is not something where you just try harder. This is something where you surrender more. As you yield yourself to the Lord, God will fill you with His Holy Spirit. He will cleanse you in your inner person. And you will begin to manifest His character so that in the midst of distress and suffering, what comes out is worship. Verse 9, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. My brothers, this should not be. This should not be. That's not the way it's supposed to be. That is a description of many people, but it's not okay. It needs to get changed. And the way to change it is to be changed by God on the inside. And therefore, beginning in verse 13, it talks about two kinds of wisdom. There is a worldly wisdom that is based on bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts. See, that's where all this comes from. But that kind of wisdom doesn't come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder in every evil practice. The wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. That's what God wants coming out of us. His peace, His joy, His love. You know, there are a lot of passages that deal with this matter, but if you look in Ephesians chapter 4 and 5, you get a picture of what should not be and what should be. I'm going to read a few select verses from Ephesians 4 and 5, and then we're going to go back to James. In verse 25 of Ephesians 4, we're told, therefore each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor. Verse 29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity, or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. Verse 6, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Verse 12, it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. Verse 15, be very careful then how you live. Be filled with the Spirit, at the end of verse 18. Verse 19, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the way we're supposed to live. That's the way we're supposed to love. That's the way we're supposed to serve. That's the way we're supposed to speak and sing. What's in your heart? Is it worship? Or is it bitterness and envy and selfishness and greed? You see, what's on the inside is what's going to come out. And when it comes out, even just in your words, it can do enormous damage. And Jesus says that we're going to give an account for every idle word that we've spoken. Some of my greatest regrets are stupid things that I've said. Some of the worst things I've done have been things that I said. And I wish, like everything, I could take it back, and I can't. I can't. Can't erase the tape. I can only seek forgiveness. But I can ask God to change my heart so that what comes out will more and more reflect His character. We'll see more of this in our further study of this book of James. In chapter 4, verses 11 through 16, we're not going to focus on it this morning, but we're warned not to slander, not to speak in a condemning way, and not to boast about tomorrow. I'm planning on going back to North Carolina this afternoon, but you know, God's the one who knows what's going to happen to me. I'm not guaranteed another 5 minutes. I'm not guaranteed another 30 seconds. You're not either. And so we need to be careful that we are living with an attitude of dependence on God. Because guess what? We are dependent on Him whether we acknowledge it or not. We can't draw our next breath apart from Him. So for us to live and behave and act as if we've got it under control is stupid. It's dishonest. We may fool ourselves, but we're not fooling others and we're not fooling God. God knows that we are all entirely dependent on Him. If God decided to withdraw the oxygen from the atmosphere, we wouldn't last very long. And if God decides He's going to take away our ability to breathe, then you can have a hyperbaric chamber, extra oxygen, and you're still not going to be able to get it. You and I are entirely dependent on God, and our speech needs to reflect it. And if it doesn't reflect it, then we're not worshiping rightly. When it says that we should be speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, that doesn't mean that every time somebody asks us a question, we have to respond with a song in our voice. That's not what that's saying. Okay? Don't pretend it is and don't be sarcastic. But instead, realize that there should be a song in our hearts. We should be worshiping on the inside. And when we do that, God is honored. God is glorified. I am very grateful for those occasions which have happened over the years when people have asked me, well, I was so happy about. And I got to tell them. You know what I'm so happy about? Jesus. He's the one who's changed my life. He's the reason I have joy. I've shared with most of you the story of when Our son Paul was awaiting surgery around the time of his second birthday. He was there in the hospital corridor. My wife was rocking him. And we'd been back and forth from the hospital. He'd had multiple surgeries already. And this man came out into the hallway, looked at my wife and said somewhat angrily, "How can you be so happy and so joyful when your son is suffering like this?" And so my wife got to tell him. That man is now a pastor in New England. He was not a believer at the time. But you see, God used the witness of her joy as she sang to our son, "Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so." I don't know it because everything's going hunky-dory in my life. You know, a lot of us think that we'd have a better witness if God would just cause us to win the lottery. Okay? I don't play the lottery, don't think. Pastor Wood plays the lottery. He's disappointed that he hasn't won. I'm not disappointed I haven't won because, first of all, I don't play the lottery. And secondly, if I did play the lottery, I'm afraid I might win. That'd be the end of my ministry. You know, he won the lottery. You know, I didn't mean to. I never thought it would happen. Really. You know what happens when you win the lottery? When you win the lottery, you are given an enormous amount of money with which you can quickly demonstrate how stupid anybody who plays the lottery is. Okay? Just so you know. In case you're ever tempted to go out and buy a lottery ticket. The Bible tells us that the person who wants to get rich quick is behaving foolishly. So don't pursue that. Don't pursue that with the lottery. Don't pursue it with stocks. Does that mean you can't buy stocks? No, it means don't try and get rich quick with stocks. Okay? Work diligently as unto the Lord and expect a good return by His grace over time. All right? Don't be in a hurry to get rich. But my wife exemplified what we're supposed to demonstrate. And that is joy in the midst of adversity. And God often has to put us in a difficult situation so that as we're being bumped, what spills out is worship, praise, adoration, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. God wants to display His character. And we're most likely to show His character in a credible way when we're not doing it in the midst of just good times. Okay? It's easy to praise God when the sun is shining and we've had a good meal. Right? That's why you pray before the meal and not after. No. Now, I'm going to thank God before I taste this food. Now, we thank God before we taste the food, we thank God while we're eating the food, and we thank God after we eat the food. Amen? Because it's good to have food to eat. My daughter said the other day as we were driving along and a great big crow flew up in front of the car, she said, "Sometimes I want to shoot those things." And she said, "And then I think, well, on the other hand, that bird may be feeding me one of these days." Where'd she get that? Elijah. God sent the ravens with food to provide for him. And so even the ravens that fly up in front of our car can be seen as a reminder of God's faithfulness and His provision, that we can depend on the Lord, that when times are tough, God is faithful. So, not many of us should presume to be teachers, because those of us who teach are going to be judged more strictly. Does that mean, well, I'm not going to teach then? No, it means don't presume to be a teacher. Don't jump to try and let everybody know what you know. But if God gifts you in teaching and calls you to teach, then rejoice in the opportunity, remembering that you will be judged more strictly, held to a higher standard. That's what God says, and it's true. But the only one who can tame your tongue is the Lord Himself. I pray that you will ask Him to do that for you. Ask Him to change you on the inside so that what comes out will be the love of God.